Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
And God brought you, and you're in that position, you're thinking, okay, this is good. But when things don't start to go your way, you're like, well, Lord, can I just take a little drink? You know, maybe I'll feel good during the week and it'll just carry me through. Lord, can I just smoke a little bit more so that maybe my train of thought will be around the way I want it to be? Lord, can I just visit some of those friends that, you know, maybe we can convene? Maybe I can bring them, you know, to the church. But no, we're always wanting to go back. As Andy said, we want to take those steps back, and we are always wanting to go back to our former lives.
Not that they had it any better, but you know, institutionalism, you begin to tell yourself that I was better off because I was more comfortable because that's what I knew. You convince yourself that slavery is better than the free world. So we're going to continue in verse 5. Moses and Aaron fell face downward on the ground before the people of Israel. Two of the spies, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, ripped their clothing and said to all the people, "It's a wonderful country ahead." Verse 8, "And the Lord loves us. He will bring us safely into the land that he and give it to us. It is very fertile, the land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are but bread for us to eat. The Lord is with us. He has removed his protection from them. Don't be afraid of them." Verse 10, "But the only response of the people was talk of stoning them." Okay, now the Israelites, they didn't just become God's chosen people. God chose them from generations before they were even in slavery, and they forgot. They forgot God's promises, and when they're reminded of God's promises, all they want to do is stone the people that's reminding them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared. And the Lord said to Moses, this is when God shows up, "How long will these people despise me? Will they never believe me even after all of the miracles I have done among them?" See, some of the most spectacular miracles in the entire Bible happened between them leaving Egypt and this point in time. Some of those them leaving Egypt was a miracle in itself. But, you see, this was, scholars say, about 2 million people. This wasn't the size of the people in the church right now. This was about 2 million people, okay? And God didn't just say, "Moses, all right, tell them, hey, can you let us free?" Moses was like, "All right, cool. We'll go find some other slaves. It's all right." No. God had to rain down 10 different plagues on the Egyptians that only God can do. God decided, "I'm going to put out the sun for a few days." All right, these were not tiny little miracles. All right, when they left, they were rejoicing. And then they heard Pharaoh's army behind them and looked forward and saw the Red Sea. The Red Sea is over 400 miles long and about 200 miles wide. All right, there were mountains on either side, and they heard the Egyptians, and all of a sudden they began to be fearful. We could turn back now, you know. We could go back to Egypt. Did you bring us out here to die, Moses? They had forgotten their promise. And God was like, "All right, I'm going to lead you across the Red Sea." Now, the part that they crossed was about 2 miles long, all right, and about 1,000 feet deep, the scholar says. 1,000, because remember, this is water. This isn't just, you know, walking across the street. So 1,000 feet deep. And they are 2 million people. And God, out of the breath of his nostrils, it says. So God goes. And the water parted. 1,000 foot deep water parted. And 2 million people crossed 2 miles between two giant 1,000 foot fish tanks with no glass. On dry land, they got all the way across. Pharaoh's army drowned. They got across. They were rejoicing, and then they looked around, realized they were in the desert, and was like, "Moses, we're hungry. You know, did you bring us out here to die? Let's go back to Egypt." You know, and God rained down manna from heaven, food from the sky, some of the most spectacular things.
Yeah, and you know, it's like now, going back to all those examples of where, you know, you're coming from your past. You know, God has brought you out of so much to say that you want to try to go back and become that same person, that person that, you know, was like drug addict and, you know, just didn't do the same things. And, you know, it was horrible for your lifestyle. And yet you want to say, Lord, you know what? I want to go back. You know, complaining. Lord, this is not working out. You know, the family, you know, they're not doing everything that I thought they were going to do. You know, Lord, rehab just really sucks. People don't really understand what I'm going through, Lord. They don't get it. They don't get it, Lord. So for you to say, complain and complain and complain and say, you know, Lord, I want to go back. You know, this is not what I want. Or, Lord, when you say you want some veggie food, you know, Lord, this is just, you know, I've become from eating pork and shrimp and all the good stuff, Lord, and now you want to take me to Morningstar and, you know, striplets? What is that? Striplets? I mean, come on now. But the Lord says for you not to complain. He will take care of it all.
Exactly. And God is saying, God is angry now. God says, how long will these people despise me? Will they never believe me even after all of the miracles I've done among them? I will disinherit them and destroy them with the plague. And I will make you into a nation far greater than they are. Because God was angry. See, God is not a wimp that goes and cries in the corner and says, oh no, they're complaining about me. You know, he doesn't go to the angels and say, angels, what do I do? They're complaining about me. Every time that we complain against God, we complain about God's plan, we try to change God's plan, we decide we have a better idea about God's plan, you know, we're storing up wrath in God. And he's a very patient person, but he's not insane. He's not going to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Okay, and so Moses begins to speak to God. In verse 13, he says, but what would the Egyptians think when they hear about it? Moses pleaded with the Lord. They know full well the power you displayed in rescuing your people. See, Moses knew that the people had heard what happened in Egypt. They told this to the inhabitants of the land, who are well aware that you are with Israel and you talk with her face to face. They see the pillar of cloud and fire standing above us, and they know that you lead and protect us day and night. Now, if you kill your people, the nations... I'm not that short. Okay. If you kill the people, the nations that have heard your fame will say, the Lord had to kill them because he wasn't able to take care of them in the wilderness. He wasn't strong enough to bring them into the land that he said that he would get. He swore that he would give them. All right, verse 17. Oh, please, Moses is still talking to her. Oh, please, show your great power of your patience by forgiving our sins and showing us your steadfast love. Forgive us, even though you said that you don't let sin go unpunished, and that you punish the father's fault in the children to the third and fourth generation. Oh, I plead with you. Pardon the sins of this people because of your magnificent, steadfast love, just as you had forgiven them all the time from when we left Egypt until now.
So now our leaders, our youth workers, our Bible workers, everybody is praying for us constantly so that the presence and the merciful hand of God does not leave his people in the time of trouble. We are praying so that we get our act together so that, you know, even though we are going behind the scenes talking about every other ministry that's going on wrong, that we still stay grounded and firm in the Lord so that our ultimate goal in life, as with the Israelites, is the promised land, the one and only promised land, is to make it to heaven.
Exactly. And our leaders, the leaders of the church, our pastor is constantly praying. And Moses is saying this to God while the people are still trying to elect a leader to go back to Egypt. The people are still complaining. And Moses has to go to God and say, God, I know you're angry. And this isn't the first time that Moses had to go to God and plead their case. Lord, still keep us your chosen people. Don't take your hand from us. Forgive us, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so now we are at verse 20 of chapter 14. And the Lord said, all right, I will pardon them as you requested, but I vow on my own name that just as it is true that all the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord, so it is true that not one of the men who has seen my glory and the miracles I did both in Egypt and the wilderness and ten times refused to trust and obey me shall even see the land that I have promised to these people's ancestors. But my servant Caleb is a different kind of man. He has obeyed me fully. I will bring him into the land he entered as a spy, and the descendants shall have their full share in it. But now, since the people of Israel are so afraid of the Amalekites and the Canaanites living in the valleys, tomorrow you must return and go back to the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Verse 26, the Lord added to Moses and Aaron, how long will these wicked, he's talking about his people, how long will these wicked people complain against me? For I have heard all that they have been saying. God has heard all that they have been saying. Tell them that the Lord vows to do to you what you feared. You will all die here in this wilderness. Not a single one of you, 20 years and older, who has complained against me, shall enter the promised land. Only Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, are permitted to enter it. Now, I'm here to say that complaining is a very contagious, infectious illness, and it can be a lifelong illness if not treated in the early stages. It's a very contagious. It's poisonous. Okay? And what God is saying, God says to the children of Israel that not those 20 years and older. Now, those were the people that had the issue now. Now, in God's time now, he's talking about a mentality. All right? He's talking about the people that are kind of stuck. You know, the people that are institutionalized. All right, he's talking about a mindset of the people nowadays. It could be people young and it can be people old. The people that are stuck in this. And right now is when we want to bring in our theme, Generation Joshua. Generation Joshua is not just, I'm not talking about our youthful generation. I'm talking about a group of people, a large group of people, young and old, that have the mindset of progression. That's what Generation Joshua is.
Okay, so now, Angie, really, when he says, I vow in my own name, now I know if I tried to vow something on my own name, it's not going to be anything.
Nah, it doesn't.
But when you vow on God's name, just think about that for a second. I vow on my own name, God said. Vowing on his own name? I mean, how much stuff do you think is possible?
You see, when God said this, his mind isn't going to change. See, God has it in his mind. He said, okay, these people, the younger people I see can be changed, but God's not about to condemn people that are still able to change, okay? So he says, okay, the people 20 years and older, those are the people that lived their majority of life, you know, in slavery and still had the slavery mindset, and we're leading the people, and we're leading other people astray. Okay, and God decided he's going to deal with these people now. God's way is just, so he waited. He gave them chance after chance. He says 10 times they refused to obey him. Okay, and the great thing about this is that God did not say, okay, children of Israel, my hand is away from you. I'm going to go pick another nation. He said, you know what? I'm going to get rid of the people. I'm going to sift through the people that are murmuring, complaining, and leading the others astray, and I'm still going to take the rest of the nation of Israel. All right, and that's where Generation Joshua comes in. Verse 31, you said your children will become slaves of the people of the land. God is still speaking. Well, instead, I will bring them safely into the land so that they inherit what you despise. But as for you, your dead bodies will fall in the wilderness. You must wander in the desert like nomads for 40 years. In this way, you will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you lies dead in the desert. Since the spies were in the land for 40 days, you must wander in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, bearing the burden of your sins. Bearing the burden of your sins. See, imagine 40 years knowing that you're going to perish without seeing the promised land. I would have rather die instantly. But to live the rest of your life knowing that because of yourself, you will not see the promised land. Bearing the burden of your sins, I will teach you what it means to reject me. I, Jehovah, have spoken. Every one of you who has conspired against me shall die here in this wilderness.
So we are just like them, that unfaithless, some of us are unfaithless, you know, just want to disobey. And so, you know, we are all going to die in this sinful wilderness we call earth. We are so institutionalized that mentality is going to kill us. And, you know, it's going to have that spiritual debt. So, you know, the Lord says, you know, you weren't obeying me. You know, fine then. You will wander in this earth. So you know what? Now the Lord said, okay, you weren't obeying me. You weren't following any of the leaders or anything. Go ahead, do whatever you were going to do. You know, smoke, drink, you know, go to the clubs, do whatever you want to, because now I'm done with you. I wash my hands of you. I'm done. You're no more, because, you know, don't come looking for me when I already gave you that chance.
Exactly. You don't want God to come and see. Luckily for us, we're not yet in the position that they were. Lucky for us, the door is still ajar. Yeah. I'm not saying the door is still ajar, because we are Adventists. We believe in the second Advent. It is coming very soon. So the door is still ajar for us to change our heart, to change our mindset. All right, we're seeing what will happen if our mindset is not changed. We want to be a part of Generation Joshua. And in 36, the 10 spies who had incited rebellion against Jehovah by striking fear in the hearts of the people were struck dead before the Lord.
So we have those new leaders, you know, Joshua and Caleb, you know, we're fired up, everything. And, you know, they join us and they're uplifted. And then you have those spiritful people, you know, who are positive and, you know, who want to bring them with open arms. But then you have those haters. Those ones in the church are just like, you know, I'm not really liking how you're doing things, you know. Can we set you aside for next Sabbath, you know? Or maybe you can do it next month. Or, you know, can you do your Bible studies somewhere else? Because we're just not liking the way that you run things. And they talk bad about God's new leaders.
And it's saying that those who incited fear in the hearts of God's chosen people, those who were being poisonous. All right, because he sent out a spy from each tribe. And I like the way he did that, because each tribe was represented. All right, a person from each tribe represents the people that were being poisonous and leading people's minds astray. So the 10 spies that were not Joshua and Caleb, that didn't have faith in the Lord, that struck fear in the hearts of the people, were instantly struck dead before the Lord. Of all the spies, only Joshua and Caleb remained. Verse 39, what sorrow there was throughout the camp when Moses reported God's word to the people. Of course, there was sorrow. Now they're sorrowful. Oh no, I think we upset him. All right, the next part is what always gets me. It always gets me. Verse 40. They were up early the next morning and started towards the promised land. No, I'm sure somewhere back here it said something about, you know, God telling them to head back to the Red Sea. They were up early the next morning and started towards the promised land. Here we are, they said. We realize that we sinned, but now we're ready to go into the promised land that the Lord has promised us.
What?
But Moses said, it's too late. Now you're disobeying the Lord's orders to the wilderness, for you to go to the wilderness.
So we're going to go back to those haters in the church. Now they get the bigger picture. Oh, yeah, you know, they're doing good. Let's follow them. Okay, Lord, we're ready now on our time. You know, we've done everything we could. You know, and now we see it. We see the bigger picture, Lord, and now we're ready. And we're getting ready to go to heaven, Lord. And we're going to worship in your name. And we're going to do anything. We're going to do everything we can, you know, to make it. And the Lord's just like, really? I just told you to go back to the Red Sea, and then you're going to tell me on your own time, Lord, we're ready now. And Lord's like, that's not going to happen, because if you're really going to disobey the Lord at the very last second and wonder and just keep on wondering, and you know what? This gets me. Just like Andy said, they want to try to go back. And so God is saying, with this mentality that we have, you do what you do best, because that's what you do. So you know what? I'm going to let you do you, because you're going to try to go to my promised land, but you're not going to make it. Let me tell you, you are going to fail.
Yes, he tells them that. Moses says, guys, it's too late. And the problem with the mindset of the children of Israel was that they were disobedient. God gives them orders, they were being disobedient. And so in order to butter up God, they said, okay, now we're gonna listen to the order that you gave before. But they weren't showing God that they changed. They were showing God they're exactly the same because they were still being disobedient. Okay, as children, I've tried this before. It doesn't work on my mom, so I quit. But, you know, you do something wrong. You're disobedient. God, you know, mom tells you to do something. You don't do it. Then the punishment comes, all right? The punishment comes. And when you realize, oh, wait, you know, mom's upset. And my mom's a British woman, so when she's upset, all right? So now that she's upset, now that she punished me, I want to try and butter her up to see if she'll, you know, revoke the punishment a little. You know, make it a little bit lighter. You know, allow me to go on and live with a smile on my face. But it's too late. He said, I, Jehovah, have spoken. That was it. That was the verdict. It's too late. All right, so that's where they are. And the reason they're so disobedient, man. Can't wait to have kids. But Moses said, it's too late. Now you're disobeying the Lord's orders to return to the wilderness. Don't go ahead, Moses warned them. Don't go ahead with your plan, or you will be crushed by your enemies. The Lord is not with you. Don't you remember the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there? You have deserted the Lord, and now he will desert you. But they went ahead into the hill country, despite the fact that neither the ark nor Moses left the camp, and God didn't leave the camp either. You know, and then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hills came down and attacked them and chased them to Morah. They were overcome by their enemies.
So now we're going to switch up and we're going to go to Matthew 7, 21 through 27. And when you say it, say amen. I mean, when you get it. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. Okay. Not everyone that saith unto the Lord, 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 we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth thy will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, how many revivals do I have to let you know that I'm, you know, preaching to your people? Lord, in thy name have I cast out devils. How many people, you know, Lord, haven't you seen all the people that I've brought to the pulpit? I mean, I just brought four yesterday. I mean, come on now. And in thy name have I done many wonderful works. Lord, remember that time when I brought that homeless guy into my house? And then I let that girl stay at my house for a couple weeks because her parents weren't doing so good. I mean, look, Lord, look at me. Lord, don't you see that I'm doing everything possible that I can to make it to your glory? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. Working for your own personal benefit. God sees what you're doing. But if you want to show it and, you know, tell everyone, oh, look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing, you know. I baptized people. I had Bible studies with somebody. That's not going to get you into heaven. That is not going to get you into heaven.
Make them into heaven, but,
Yeah. 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, do and do with them, I will liken it to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat upon the house. All the hardships, all the troubles, everything that you go, it's going to beat on top of your rock. And it fell because it was not founded upon a rock. So if you have a rock that you think, a little pebbles, just one pebble, two pebbles, three pebbles, and you try to put it in and make it to be like a rock, it's like having plywood, except now you have a ply rock. You're just filling. It's just fillers of stuff, and you know what? It's not going to get there because at the end, it's going to crumble, and it's not as thick, and it's not as firm as that rock. 26, and it says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and the great fall of it. So basically, if your house is not grounded in the Lord, if you do not have that foundation, if it's not strong and built, you're not going to get anywhere, because in the end you're going to crumble and you're going to wonder why, and you're going to cry and you're just going to be like, what happened, Lord? Like, why was I not good enough? What happened?
Right, and the only way to get that firm foundation in the Lord is through prayer and Bible study, personal prayer and Bible study. You see, God was talking about, I don't know you. I don't know you. Okay, so while we're running around and doing all these things, yeah, that's fine. But unless you have a personal change of heart, a personal heart of progression in Jesus Christ, that's the rock we're talking about. And in Matthew 13, verse 24, we're almost done here. Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, 24. And it says, here is another illustration that Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer sowing good seed in his field. But one night, as he slept, his enemy came down and sowed thistles among the wheat. When the crop began to grow, the thistles grew too. The farmer's men came and told him, "Sir, the field where you planted that choice seed is full of thistles. An enemy has done it," he exclaimed. "Shall we pull out the thistles?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll hurt the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. And I will tell the reaper to sort the thistles and burn them and put the wheat in the barn." And so he's saying here, the generation Joshua and the thistles, we'll call them, we're all in the same place at this very point in time. We all grow together. But there's going to be a time of the harvest. And the time of the harvest is what separates generation Joshua, the people that are all together, the people that are unified, listening to the leader who listens to God, who are set for progression to God's promised land. The promised land we're looking at is not some grass filled with milk and honey. It's an eternal life. I can't fathom anything eternal. You know, as much as I try, everything on earth has a birth date and an expiration date. and so I can't fathom this, but this is the land that we're going towards, okay? And God didn't just say, okay, you know, now you guys can cross this little line and go into the promised land. There were people and obstacles that they had to defeat in order to inhabit this land. And so there are things, you know, once you decide to be progression-minded for God, that you will face. All right, and the thing that decides whether you're the thistles or generation Joshua is if you have the faith that God will break down the walls. All right, that's what we're talking about here, the harvest time. And the time is coming quickly. Okay, we talk about being in the last days. We're having a prophecy seminar because all these prophecies are being fulfilled and the door is not going to stay open all the time. Okay, so this harvest time is coming quickly. And so what we need right now is a change of heart, a change of mentality, so that we can all be on one accord, heading to one goal in the body of Christ. And he says, you know, we're going to divide generation Joshua from the thistles. And I'm going to deal with the thistles. And when God says he's going to deal with someone, you don't want to be a part of that someone he's dealing with. Because the Israelites, most of them were a part of the someone God was dealing with and ended up living the next 40 years knowing that they were going to die and not see the promised land. And so our appeal to you today is,
we just want to ask you now, do you want to wander this earth with that kind of mentality, knowing all you had to do was to obey God? Or do you want to be like those who broke through all the negativity, the complaining, the suffering, and just strive for the ultimate promised land?
Exactly. And this appeal, it's going to be a standing one, but I want everyone to think right now.
Think about what your decision is. Don't just stand up because everyone else is standing up. Let it be personal. Let it touch your heart, because in the end, everyone else's decision is not going to get you into heaven.
Exactly, and Generation Joshua is a generation that are doers of the words, not just hearers of the words. And so we have a youth week of prayer coming up. We have an all-power seminar coming up. We have a prophecy seminar coming up. And these are things that Generation Joshua, don't just show up yourself. All right, we're going to go out. We're going to bring our friends. We're going to bring as many people as we can possibly bring into this place, because the end time message is something that everybody needs to hear. We make decisions for ourselves, but everyone needs the opportunity to hear it. And if you have someone next to you that you know, has not heard, you know, God's prophecy, has not heard that we're living in a time of the end, and you don't bring them to the seminar for this opportunity, you're going to be held accountable for this. All right, so right now, if you want to be a part of the generation of progression, whether you're young or old, Lord, we are asking that you stand before surrender prayers. So if you want to be a part of that generation, Joshua.
If you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself and just bigger than everything that's going on.
You want to make a commitment to do all you can do.
Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for bringing us on this beautiful Sabbath day, Lord. I want to thank you for letting us now see that we can be Generation Joshua. Anybody, Lord, no matter from 10 to 105, Lord, it doesn't matter. Anybody can be a part of your chosen group, Lord. And let us have that mentality, Lord. Let us have that understanding and that knowing, Lord. And let us continue to build a personal relationship with you, Lord, so that in the end times, we know that all it's going to take for us to get in is a hallelujah, and we made it, Lord, because we know that we are going to the ultimate promised land. And Lord, I ask that you would please change our hearts. Change our thoughts. Change the way that we ever thought about anything negative about anyone, Lord. Just help us to realize there is more to life. There is more to life, Lord. And I ask that you would please guide us, Lord, and keep your merciful hand upon each and every one of us, no matter what goes on in our life. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.